Hi everyone, welcome to Torah Macha Parsha with all your women's initiative. Today we're up to Parsha's Kedoshim. Parsha's Kedoshim is an amazing Parsha. We spoke about last week how we are in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, we're in the second half now, and we spoke about how the second half is actually the higher half. In the second half, we find the phrase Ani Hashem, or Ani Hashem Elokeichem, over 50 times, which is counterintuitive. The first half of Sefer Vayikra is Kedushat HaMishkan, which is where we come close to Hashem, and we would have expected that phrase in the first half. And now in the second half, we said we were able to translate that intense relationship with Hashem into our relationship with other people, into our space, into our time, Kedushat Adam, Kedushat Makom, Kedushat Zman. So we said that a person that's able to successfully translate that intense relationship with Hashem into all those three areas, so that's where they actually come closer to Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. In this week's Parsha Kedoshim, we actually find the biggest concentration of that phrase, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. This is where we find a large majority of the mitzvah ben Adam l'chaviro. In Perek Yotet, we find a very high concentration. Almost every other pasuk, we find the phrase Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and most of the mitzvah ben Adam l'chaviro are contained in this Perek Yotet. And so that's our question to start out with. We understand why Ani Hashem is in the second half of the Sefer. Why is it so concentrated around the relationships with other people? We find in these psukim many of the mitzvot about lo telech recha b'mecha, not talking lashon hara, lo tisnei l'chicha b'levecha, not hating someone in your heart, lo tikam v'lo titor, not bearing a grudge, not taking revenge, v'hatrecha k'mocha, loving other people. And every other pasuk ends with that phrase, Ani Hashem. So we got the point. This is Hashem. So there's two approaches that I'd like to share with you about why specifically over here by the relationships with other people do we see this focus on Ani Hashem. One approach is from the Sefer Chinuch, where he's talking about the mitzvah of Nakama, and it could really be extended to all of the mitzvah. And this approach is based on Emunah, meaning David HaMelech tells us in Sefer Tehillim, Perkav Yitai Kol Mitzvah Sacha Emunah, that really all of the mitzvos are based in Emunah. Not just the mitzvah bin Adam l'makom, meaning of course one of the reasons we keep Shabbos is because we believe in Hashem. But what Sefer V'Yikra is teaching us is that really the basis of all of our mitzvah, even the mitzvah bin Adam l'chaviro, is also based in Emunah. Lo telech rechir ba'amecha ani Hashem. Someone that speaks Lashon Hara, unfortunately, so it shows a lack of Emunah. If the person was talking about someone and their father walked into the room, they would hush up, because how could you talk about someone in front of their father? But when we speak Lashon Hara, unfortunately, it's a lack of realization that Hashem's right there and we're talking about His child. And so Ani Hashem follows the psukim, every other pasuk, as to instill within us that emunah. It's the yisod of all the mitzvah, even bin Adam l'chavira. And the Sefer Chinuch writes this very clearly by the mitzvah of nekama. There's different explanations given why a person can't take revenge. It should seem rational. If this person hurt me, I should hurt them back. They cheated me, I should just be a shmata and let them walk all over me. I should be able to stand up for myself. So the Kli Yakar explains the reason for nakama is because we're taking something out of proportion. Meaning, just like when you look down from a plane and everything is looks like little toy people and toy buildings, and let's say a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and the 3-year-old knocks down the tower that the 5-year-old is building, and the 5-year-old is then gonna smack him, so the mother's gonna be upset because can't smack someone, it's just a toy building. So that's how Hashem looks at it, according to the Kli Yakar, that when we take revenge on someone, we're talking about Legos, we're talking about toys. You're gonna hurt this person back because he hurt you? It's toy. It's such small matters in the eyes of Hashem. That's the Kli Yakar's explanation. But the Sefer Chinuch speaks about it in a very different way. The reason why nekama is so wrong is because it's a lack of recognition that it's coming from Hashem, and the language that he uses over here, it's mitzvah resh mem aleph in the Sefer Chinuch, is so strong. He says, "Sheyeda adam v'yitein alibo, ki kol ha'sheikra mitov adra hu siba shetavo alav me'ed Hashem baruch hu." He says, a person has to know that everything that happens to him, good, bad, is coming not from the person, but from Hashem. "M'yad ha'adam yad ishachav, lu yadavar b'yot." He says, a person can't touch you, whether for good or for bad, unless that's the Ratzon of Hashem. And so it's not him directed outward that's hurting you. It's him coming from Hashem directed upward that's hurting you. And if it wouldn't have come from your neighbor, it would have come from a different neighbor. If it would have come, wouldn't have come from that sibling, it would have come from a different sibling. Because it's not from this sibling or that sibling. It's not from this neighbor or that neighbor or this friend or that friend. It's coming from Hashem. Hashem wants me to feel this pain, or to grow from this pain, or to grow from this challenging situation. And so that person is obviously acting wrong, and they're going to have an accounting with Hashem, but the pain and the challenge that I'm going through is actually coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the emuna that a person builds actually helps them also in their bin adam the chaviro. How could I take revenge on this person? It's not coming from him. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's one very big approach that could be taken through all the psukim and through all the specific mitzvot about why Ani Hashem is mentioned in such high concentration by these mitzvot bin adam the chaviro. The other approach that I'd like to share with you is based on the Rambam in his eighth mitzvah asay in the Sefer Mitzvot, where he talks about the mitzvah of the halachta b'drachav. And actually, before we mention that Rambam, it's important to understand how does a person, who's close to Hashem? Is it the person that is wrapped up in their tallis and tefillin all day, or the woman that says Tehillim all day long? Is that the person that's the closest to Hashem? So the Rambam writes that the true closeness to Hashem comes through this mitzvah, the halachta b'drachav, meaning a person could be davening all day and learning all day, but their midot and their personality and their interpersonal relationships could be, there's what to be desired over there, and they could be not up to par in their bin adam l'chavira. Oh, but at least their bin adam l'makom is in check. So what the Rambam explains for us is that it's not true. Meaning, if there's so much lacking in a person's midot and interpersonal relationships, so that actually is a lacking in their relationship with Hashem. How so? So in spirituality, how do we measure closeness? In physicality, we measure closeness by proximity. I'm close to this thing. These two locations are close to each other. But in spirituality, we don't measure closeness by location and proximity. We measure closeness by similarity. When you want to talk about how close you are with a person, so how close are you to this person? So the more similar you are to someone, the closer we feel. When you're a little girl, you measure closeness by we both like the same color. We both like collecting stickers. As we grow older and mature, so our closeness to people is based on values and more important priorities. I feel close to someone because we share the same dreams and we share the same perspectives and the same ethics and morals, and that's the measure of closeness. And so when we want to measure a person's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the closeness is measured based on similarity. How close am I to this person? How similar am I to Hashem? And so what does Hashem look like? So the Torah tells us what Hashem looks like. Hashem is Kel Racham Echanan Ercha Paim Ev Chesed. The MS, he's compassionate, he's kind, he's giving, that he's filled with chesed. And the Rambam writes in the 8th mitzvah to say that the mitzvah of Halacha Bedrechav is a mitzvah to imitate Hashem, to be like Hashem. And the Rambam writes that it's in two ways, meaning Chazal talk about the midot of Hashem, Mahu Chanun, Afata Chanun, Mahu Tzadik, Afata Tzadik. Just like he's gracious, you be gracious. Just like he's righteous, you be righteous. That's in terms of his character traits. And then we also have a description of Hashem in his actions. Mahu mevaker cholem, afata mevaker cholem. Mahu mechnus orchem, afata mechnus orchem. Just like he is hospitable, he welcomes us all into the world. We should be hospitable, welcome people into our home and space. And so if we imitate Hashem in his character traits and in his actions, so that's actually the person that's the closest to Hashem. So obviously to be close to Hashem, you also have to talk to him. You need to daven. You also need to learn. He talks, that's when he talks to us. But the true measure of the person that's close to Hashem is who looks like him. And that's what we see over here in Parsha Kedoshim. Who's the closest to Hashem? All over Parsha Kedoshim by the mitzvah bin Adam l'chavira. And then Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the one that's truly close to Hashem. The person that's able to successfully translate that intense experience they had in the Mishkan into their relationships with other people. That person looks like Hashem. That's the one that's actually closest to Hashem. And so that's the other approach from the Rambam as to why we have Ani Hashem all over this parsha and the mitzvah bin Adam l'chavira. I want to get into one more mitzvah with you, and that's the mitzvah that we have towards the end of Perek Yitzhat, which is the climax of the mitzvah of Bin Adam Chavira, which is the mitzvah of V'ahavta Le'echa Kamocha. So one of the famous psukim we have in the Torah, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and the Mefarshim talk about if this is a literal mitzvah or not a literal mitzvah. Do we literally have to love someone how we love ourselves? What I want to speak about is Rashi on this pasuk. Rashi talks about, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. Rabbi Akiva tells us, this is the Klal Gadol B'Torah. So first, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a very beautiful insight where he speaks about how Rashi only quotes the B'Shem Omro in certain situations, meaning most of the time Rashi al Torah, when he's quoting Chazal, he's quoting Midrashim, he's quoting the Gemara, he doesn't normally quote the author of that statement. He just gives the statement over. But when Rashi does quote the author of the statement, as in our situation, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zeklat Gadol B'Torah, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Pirush on Rashi al HaTorah, beautiful Pirush. So he explains that when Rashi does quote the B'Shem Omro, it's to tell us that somehow this Tana statement is totally in line with everything that Tana taught. Meaning, Rabbi Kiva didn't just proclaim with his mouth, Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, but his whole life proclaimed Zechal Gadol B'Torah. Rabbi Kiva's whole life was about, this is the great teaching of the Torah. V'ahavta Le'echa Kamocha. Rabbi Kiva's whole life was first coming to find the good in himself. Then he comes to see the good in others through his wife Rachel. And ultimately, he comes to see the good in Hashem. This is the Klal Gadol B'Torah, and Rabbi Kiva dies al Kiddush Hashem. And so Rabbi Kiva's whole life is about seeing the good in other people. And well, many of his statements in Chazal are very much in line with this. And that's what Rashi is quoting over here. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's whole life proclaimed Zechal Gadol B'Torah. And that's why we actually have a big question on this Rashi, because we're in the period right now of Sfiras HaOmer, and the Gemara tells us that the reason why we're in mourning now, even though really it should be a happy time exclusively as we count towards Matan Torah and Shavuos, so the Gemara tells us that it's also a sad time because we're also mourning the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. And why did they die? So the Gemara tells us that it's because Shalona Guza Akavodah Bazeh, that they didn't respect each other. And that's our question. How could it be if Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, who adored him, who admired him, who revered him to such an extent, they didn't absorb their Rebbe's most important teaching? The Rabbi Kiva's most important teaching is V'ahavta Le'echa Kamocha, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, and they didn't absorb that teaching? How could that be? So I heard this from a belly Sita that's the biggest question, and along with that question, we also want to understand why do we mourn this period more than any other period in Jewish history. There's unfortunately Jewish history is replete with tragedies. We have the Crusades, we have the Holocaust, and we don't have special periods of mourning for those tragedies. Instead, they're all subsumed under the 3 weeks, under the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because we recognize that that is the main cause of all of the tragedies in Jewish history. And so why is this tragedy different? So that it has its own period of mourning. So Reb Eli Baruch Shulman explained that it's actually coming from the same daf in the Gemara, Nivamos daf Samach Beis, where we learn about the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva dying during this period because they didn't respect each other. The bottom of that daf actually tells us what does a Jewish marriage look like. A Jewish marriage looks like someone that loves his wife like his own self, and he respects her even more than himself. So the Gemara tells us that that person, Alav, it's clear that there's Shalom Bayis there, that the Shekhinah was resting over there. That's a description of a beautiful marriage in the Gemara. So why does the Gemara have to tell us, Ohivet ishto kagufo? Isn't love enough? Isn't it enough that he loves her? What's v'hamachabdu yoter? He also has to respect her. So we see from over here, what's the difference between ahava and kavod, between love and respect? So love is based on similarity, like we spoke about. When you feel close to someone, you love them. You love someone because you recognize in them a kinship. You recognize something similar. We share so much history together, or we share so much future together, and that's why we love all of Klai Yisrael. We share so much together, and we share in the past, and we share a whole future together. When you love someone, it's when you recognize like something noble that you recognize also within yourself. I share this, we share something together. We're so similar. We share the same hobbies and interests and personalities, and I love this person. What's respect? Respect is not based on similarity. Respect is based on the dignity of difference. Maybe this person has a different hobby than me. Maybe this person has a different style than me, or a different interest than me, or a different personality than me. But I could recognize that difference and give it deference and respect it. And that's the dignity of difference, and that's respect. What happened with the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva? They did absorb the Rebbe's message. They did absorb Rabbi Akiva's teaching, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, to such an extent that they loved their chavrusa so much, and that's why the Gemara talks about it in pairs, meaning not that 24,000 Talmidim died, but 12,000 pairs of Talmidim died because it was each one with their chavrusa. They loved their chavrusa so much that they couldn't handle the difference. Love that is not tempered by respect could be tyrannical, could be abusive even, meaning, how could you be different than me? I love you so much, like we're so similar. What's this little difference of opinion? How could you think something a little different? How could you have a little bit different interest or a little bit different style? They absorbed their Rebbe's teaching to such a degree. Had they only tempered it with kavod, Shalona gu kavod zebazeh. That's what Chazal say. They did love their chavrusas. They did love each other, but it wasn't tempered with the kavod. It wasn't balanced out with the respect for the differences. And that is a major message for us today. And the Talmid Rebbe Akiva had the ability, because there was such a reservoir in those Talmidim to love each other. That's such a reservoir of Ahavas Yisrael. It had the ability to rebuild the final Beis HaMikdash. Had they only tempered it with kavod, it could have done that. And so we mourn this tragedy more than any other tragedy. And the message for us is very clear. The focus for us when we're dealing with other people is to love them, to focus on the similarities. But we also need to temper it with the kavod, to respect each other's differences, to allow for those differences. And Be'ezer Hashem, through that, we should be zocheh to not only come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our imitating Him and through our Muna of Hashem and everything that happens to us, but through that we shall also be Zocha to rebuild the final and third Beis HaMikdash. Have a beautiful Shabbos.